I did not know Gina Close until last year when she became a member of Chris Jones and the Night Drivers, banjo player, wonderful singer, and the album Made to Move was her debut and first exposure to me. I had Chris Jones on the show, spoke about the album and how she came to become a member. Not long after that, she released her own solo record, True Colors, really showcasing the influences on her music and just a wide range of skill and her vocal, more so. I think she has a wonderful vocal addition. She is a wonderful vocal addition to the Chris Jones Night Drivers band, and so creative and such a talented banjo player. We're going to talk to Gina in the second hour of the program. You're going to enjoy hearing from Gina Close. This was just a fascinating opportunity for me to get to speak to someone that I did not know at all until Chris Jones plucked her up, so to speak, to become a member of Chris Jones and the Night Drivers. Really solid decision, I think you'll all agree. Thanks so much for tuning in. Really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass Gina Close.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great. Became a fan of yours instantly when the latest Chris Jones and the Night Drivers Made to Move CD came out. I was listening to it, and I knew that you were new to that band, and you added such great, it fit perfectly, and then the vocals, aside from the banjo playing, which is just stellar, you added a nice vocal quality that, not that they needed one, but I thought, well, that's a nice twist for Chris and the Night Drivers to add that nice vocal element in there that you do. You sing so well.
Thank you. It's like singing with Chris Jones. I mean, I grew up listening to Chris.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's awesome. It's amazing for me to be able to sing on stage with him. And I think also he's got such a low voice. I think it works well.
It does. It really does. You compliment each other really well. And, I haven't seen the new configuration yet. I just haven't, but I will eventually. I was talking to Chris about that album, and you came up because you were a new, not only a lot of great songs on Made to Move, but then we talked about how you got to this band. And one of the reasons I want to talk to you today is you're not only that, but your solo release, True Colors, which is on Mountain Home Records, is what we're going to talk a lot about. But for the people listening, if they don't know Gina, how did you arrive at Chris Jones and the Night Drivers?
I've been playing the banjo since I was really young, you know, like 10 or 11 is when I started. And I've just kind of played for fun and, like, very, you know, very, like, amateur settings, you know, just, you know, I didn't try to get real serious about it until, I guess, I joined up with Chris. But I'd played in some regional bands and kind of local groups here and there, and I just decided I wanted to, take it more seriously. So I had met the Night Drivers at a festival when I was playing there with another band. That one's called Buds Collective, and I decided I wanted to go more pro with it and reached out to John Weisberger because he kind of knows everybody in the business.
Yes, he does.
And I just told him, you know, I was looking for a new band. If he knows of anyone, give him my name and number. And it just so happened to be that Ned switched over to Becky Buller a couple months later, and they called me.
Well, it's a great fit. I did talk to John a little bit before I talked to Chris, not on the air, but I know John also, and just I try to get a little bit of a background or how you fit, and he just thought it was a perfect fit. And like you said, everything just kind of fell together so well, I think, for that album. And then my favorite tune, because I love banjos, is What the Heck.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's one that Mark Stoffel wrote. But, yeah, I love.
It's just a blast.
I love playing with those guys.
Oh, yeah. And then, so True Colors, then, which came out when on Mountain Home. I've had it for a while, and I've even played it I do a jazz show over the air in Cincinnati on a different radio station, and I played True Colors on that. I may have even told you when it was happening, but.
Oh, yeah. You know. I did mention that. That's great. I love hearing that, you know, going across the
genres. It fits so many things, and there's so many different rhythms and influences that you pull into from I don't know where, but how long was True Colors in the works before it came out?
I had always wanted to make my own album because I've kind of written stuff and, you know, I've had music in my head and wanted to bring it to life, but really, I mean, I made the decision to make an album in the spring. And then I booked a date for the studio in, you know, June or so. June or July, and then just having booked the date and the musicians, I really cracked down and started working hard at home. So, you know, it was over the course of a few months that I was spending a lot of time writing and, you know, arranging stuff how I wanted it to sound and making charts and all that.
Yeah, there are, I have 12 songs as I look at the album. 6 of them you're singing on. At least lead, you might be singing on others, but I have a vocal, I have my notes here that I think I've counted 6 that you're singing vocals on.
Actually, there's my sister sings one.
Oh.
Which people confuse her for me. She sings Looking for Sunshine. That's Malia Furtado.
Oh, okay.
And then Heather Berry is the other female guest vocalist. She sang For Better or For Worse. Heather Berry made.
Go ahead.
How many did I sing? I think I sang 4.
4, okay. I need to know what kind of banjo you're playing so the audience can know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's actually a parts banjo, but the kind of the core is a Gibson RB3 with all kinds of exciting things added to it, which don't ask me because I'm not really sure. I didn't put it together myself. I'm not a banjo geek about that sort of thing.
You know, I know many people are. I just give them my banjo and say, make this work again and give it back to me.
That's what I like to do.
What banjo influences? I know you've been playing music off and on. You said banjo from 10 or 11. But if you were going to listen to a banjo player, and I know you have different, your music is informed by other sources, not just banjo music is my guess. But if you want to listen to a banjo player, who was someone that you would kind of listen to as a way to get into playing banjo?
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple favorites. Definitely Jens Kruger is possibly my top of the list.
Okay, now pick a human.
God, the others aren't too far. I mean, I was going to say Ron Block.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if he qualifies as human either. He's pretty phenomenal.
He might not be. He might not be a human. They both have so distinctive. It's funny that you picked those up because they're so distinctive styles and Ron and Jens just does, you know, and for the people listening, and we've played Jens Kruger's music on this program before. He just does everything, and maybe that influences some of the different rhythms and the sounds. But Ron Block has such a recognizable style on banjo and guitar also. But I think he has mastered, and I think they should change the name of the choke to the block because he's got the greatest.
That's Ron.
And they're just perfect. And you think, well, it's just a choke and a string, but he's just the best at it, I think.
Yeah, he definitely is, in my opinion, as well.
The True Colors album, by the way, I know the tune that I played over there on the jazz show was the title cut. I just thought it was a very jazzy sounding tune. Puppet Show sort of is too. That's the first cut on the album. But you pull from different resources, and maybe you don't recognize where you get them from. Like you were talking a little bit off the air that you listen to all kinds of music, but some of these tunes, there are some country, there are some. I hate to label things, but someone would say, "Oh, that's a bluegrass tune," and I would say, "You're right." But some of these things have a Texas swing or even a gypsy jazz sound, and especially with the string arrangements that you have. But help me out on this.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I do feel like I just kind of, my attention is easily pulled in by anything. You know, so if I'm watching like a Hollywood musical. You know, I'll hear something that I really like and kind of remember that, like file it away in my brain for using it sometimes. But, yeah, as far as what I listen to, I mean, of course I've listened to a lot of bluegrass, but I've moved, you know, often listened to, like, kind of like funk and New Orleans-style jazz, you know, stuff like that I really like. And then I was raised on classical music before I started the banjo. I had, like, I was trained on classical piano, so I mean you hear that in some of the stuff. I guess like the Wayward Kite is kind of classically influenced.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just kind of like hear little tidbits here and there. Even just walking around in the grocery store, you hear whatever's on the radio, and something will jump out at me that I really like, and kind of save it for later.
It's funny that you mentioned the Wayward Kite, which is. I have as the 7th tune on the album. That's almost, when you mention classical, that's almost like in a couple different movements. If for a short song, there's some absolute definite movement changes in that. Is that what you're trying to say, maybe some of your classical training?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, how it'll like to, you know, almost change to a different
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the True Colors you sing on that, and is very, and I just say it's very jazzy. And, you know, it's interesting that we're discussing this. Alison Brown, who I'm just such, I admire everything that she's done. And I've asked her about her jazz influences. And she said kind of the same thing, that until she started playing things that were could be, she would recognize as being jazz, whatever that is. She never really had a person that she listened to. She just wrote it that way. So whatever it's, you know, whatever's being picked up, it comes back out, and maybe that's what's, I don't know, maybe that's the same process going on. I have no idea because I don't write music, but I just felt like there's something else at work. And even the string arrangements on some of these things, and we talked about Wayward Kite, but there's some of these things are clearly not, hey, get a fiddle and play this part. Are you doing those arrangements also for the strings involved?
The Wayward Kite, I didn't at all. That was all Chris Sexton played the cello on there, and he came up with that, his solo part on his own, and I absolutely love what he did there. I'm really pleased with that. The rest of the album, I kind of had ideas in my head about how I wanted it to be, so I tended to guide, you know, make special requests from the other musicians a lot more. But the Wayward Kite was definitely all Chris.
Okay. For the people listening, that's not the only one that has a not fiddle sound on the strings. There's other things in here that have something that if you took it out of the tune and put it in another setting, it would just be, you know, a great violin player. Now, you know, the difference between fiddle and violin being, I guess, taste, but they're both great. But you have some string arrangements in these tunes that are very, I won't say complicated because that means the other ones aren't, but you know what I'm saying? They're a little different. You have a different feel to a lot of things that you've put into this album.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
are you surprised by these?
No, not exactly. Yeah, it was a different feel. I guess a lot of these tunes, like they came from something that I was experiencing, going through myself, and you were saying, like, how, you know, where do the ideas come from? I think a lot of it is kind of, you know, I feel like finally after many years of practicing, I kind of tapped into my own musicality.
Okay.
And been able to pull from that. And, so for some of them, like, I just remember one of the tunes, I think it was on Dusk and Wait. There's, like, a little fiddle part where I was just, Malia, can you please just sound like an ostrich? I need you to sound like an ostrich right there. She did this little note, and it was just, like, exactly right. So the feeling that I was going for. The musicians that I had were absolutely, like, amazing about grasping, you know, character, I guess. Like, they understood what I was after.
Well, you know, we can talk about the title cut, True Colors, and then if we bounce down to, I will pronounce it, you will help me correct this, La Puerta del Diablo is a very bouncy and a very hot fiddle sound. To me, and that's different than a lot of the other things that you do in this album also.
Where did the idea for that one? I mean, La Puerta del Diablo is actually a place that I've visited. It's down in El Salvador, and it's this big crevice in this mountain way up high above the city of San Salvador, and it's got a bunch of, like, legends attached to it, and they think it's haunted and has, you know, just a bunch of myths attached to this creepy, eerie place. So I named it after that, and I guess that's kind of where I got the inspiration for the tune. But, yeah, it's kind of got the gypsy jazz swing feel to it. I'm not sure where that came from. I've listened to, of course, Django Reinhardt a good bit, and, jam sessions around the, you know, festivals that I've been to over the years.
Well, that all makes sense. And yeah, you're not trying to repeat or recreate, but your music is informed. Is the only way I can describe these things is what you're creating is informed by other things that you hear, and it should be. By the way, I figured out right away Beautiful Land as Roy G. Biv.
What was that?
I figured out Beautiful Land as Roy G. Biv. Because that's how I learned the colors of the rainbow when I was in. It was a person's name, Roy G. Biv. So what you do?
Oh, interesting. Well, I haven't heard that one, but I got it from Nina Simone. Was the where I had heard that one.
See, you do listen. You listen to jazz. I love Nina Simone. Now, I haven't heard her do that one, but
I love her. She's amazing.
She is. Well, help me on this then, because I think, you know, as time has passed by, she's been more and more recognized, not just because of her position and civil rights and women's rights, but I think her piano playing was really remarkable.
Yes, she is just an incredible musician. I mean, talk about so much feeling in her music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of hers.
Oh, that's good. Well, she meant everything that she did, here I want to bounce back up a little bit to For Better or For Worse. Tell me what's going on in this song.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much just like the story of my childhood. I had, you know, came from a family with that sort of situation, and actually this was one of the first songs I ever wrote. I probably wrote it when I was like, you know, 16, 17 years old. This is the only one I think that I had already written before I started preparing for the album. So, I was just kind of, really, I think it was just kind of processing what I was going through as a child, and so it's all real life.
Well, let's if I can just embellish a little bit on that, she endured the curse, for better or for worse, and the song seems to be centered on, could be your mother, I don't know, it could be any mother of children who endures a lot in order to keep things together and finds her peace in religion is the way I listen to the thing, but certainly a way of maintaining and enduring the curse. And the curse, there's some unhappy things that happen in the song to the person who's actually the song is about.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say about that. I guess, you know, with that, the line, she endured the curse for better or for worse, I wanted to kind of achieve there was like a double meaning, like she did it for better or for worse. I don't know if that was a good thing, a good choice, or a bad choice. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just kind of...
it's what they did.
Yeah, it's what they did. And, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of... I'm not sure I'm of the same opinion that that's what should be done all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that song really, for me, it just helped me like process it and heal from my own, you know, my own experience with that.
Well, I sense that from the song, and we can move on from that now. But that's kind of what I was thinking. Good old fashioned heartbreak is a good old fashioned country swingy bluegrassy tune. Good.
Yeah, because I realized like right away that almost everything I had put on the album strayed from bluegrass quite a bit. But I want to keep bluegrass alive, so I wrote that one and kind of intended it to, you know, it's kind of me pledging my allegiance to bluegrass anyway. I will always love the traditional sound and want to do my part to keep that alive. So, yeah, so there's my contribution.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Who's singing that one for the people listening? Who's going to be singing on that?
His name is Scott Brannon. He's an amazing singer right here up in my neck of the woods. I think he lives in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And he is he's a great guy and wonderful singer.
The second cut on the album, Sailor's Creek, is an instrumental. I think you write some really nice, let's take the vocal parts out of the song, you write really nice melodies and I'll use this term, but it's a term that I use to describe Alan Munday's instrumentals. I just think he has the prettiest notes that I can imagine, and I think that you choose very pretty notes to play the melody that you've come up with.
Well, thank you.
In your style, you have a very, if you're playing a bouncy tune or a jazzy tune, you fit right along with that, but you have a very, I don't want to say overly complicated, but you can play a lot of notes when you need to. You have a lot of taste. You play with a lot of taste is the best way I can get to playing around the melody. You don't dominate the melodies you're written or the singers, but you have a lot of taste around what you're doing. I'm trying to put words to something I don't understand how to do because I don't get it. But I remember when I heard Made the Move, and then when I heard this, I kept thinking the same thing, that you have a very tasteful approach to playing.
Thank you. That's very important to me. I definitely want to, compliment the song and I really try hard not to, like, overpower, you know, do too much. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine.
Well, and isn't that one of the hardest things for a well, I won't say just banjo players, but you know, we like to play loud and fast whenever we can get away with it. But isn't that one of the harder things to learn, is that to complement the song and the band and the effort, and do what you need to do, but also be there in a supportive role that doesn't always mimic the melody, but you play behind it and around it. Just, I just got this great feeling of listening to your music that you definitely got that part of it.
Thank you. That's a huge compliment.
The album is on Mountain Home, I think we mentioned. I've had this, I guess, since it came out. I just never could get the time to well, you were busy and I was busy, and then now the holidays are over. But the album is available. I guess that if they wanted to find out about you, is there a website they could go to just to find you, and it would probably list where you're going to be and with who?
Yeah, I do have my own website. It's GinaClosesBanjo.com. And that's also the best place to buy an album. That's where I actually get paid if you order it from me.
Oh, good. Good.
As opposed to Amazon or, you know, some online source.
Good. So what's going on with, as far as appearances, would they be able to find you? You're probably doing other things other than waiting for Chris to come back from Canada. So what other kind of things are you up to in the interim?
Well, I'm getting ready to hit the road with the Night Drivers next week, actually.
Oh, good. Good.
Heading West Coast, but... yeah, I've been doing a good bit of my own shows, just kind of filling in the cracks, but I've been playing with some folks out this way, and I do have a couple shows coming up. Let's see, it's all on the website,
GinaClosesBanjo.com,
but my most coming up, I've got, like, Bright Box here in Winchester, Virginia, nice venue, and Kingman Island. I'll be at Kingman Island in D.C. this spring, Kingman Island Folk and Bluegrass Festival. So, yeah, there's a good bit of shows on there where I'm going to be kind of showcasing this album and songs that I write.
If folks come to Chris Jones Night Drivers, I mean, I'm sure that I know Chris will have a merchandise product. Would you have your CD there, True Colors? Would that be available?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, this is all good. You're in with a good group of musicians and John Weisberger, I know better than probably anybody else in the band. But you're with a good group, and I think you're going to have a blast. I think they're absolutely going to love having you with them the longer that you are. I just think it's a perfect fit, and I really like the vocal component that you add to their sound.
Thank you. Yeah, I am so thrilled to be playing with them. They're great guys and great musicians.
Mm-hmm, that's good. I'm glad they found you. And it was funny because when Chris was on to talk about it, had just happened. I mean, it just happened. And Weisberger was saying, make sure you ask Chris about Gina. So we put probably the first several minutes of talking about Made to Move is how did Gina come to the band. So I knew a little bit of that history, but that was a very important thing to John because he's just thrilled that you're part of the band, as I think everybody is. So
that's nice of him.
That's great. Gina, gosh, thanks so much for taking some time. I know you're busy, and I'll catch Chris and the Night Drivers somewhere down the road for certain. I can't wait. I just don't know where it's going to be, but I'll find you somewhere, I'm certain. So congratulations on the new album, True Colors, on Mountain Home.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's great to talk to you.
It's very exciting music. Thanks, and I'll catch up with you later.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, okay, bye.